Welcome to Campfire, connecting primary producers. Campfire provides a solution-focused community for farmers and fishers to improve work systems and support mentally healthy workplaces.
Farm injuries are usually talked about in terms of numbers, such as there's 8.7 serious injury claims per 1,000 employees. There's no denying that's a terrible and unacceptable number, but when we're bombarded by statistics every day, it sadly loses its impact. However, when you hear the stories behind the numbers, then the issue becomes relatable. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and that was exactly what Jessica Beattie sought to do when studying the issues around serious farm injuries. Jess is a lecturer in rural general practice, focusing on program development and support. She does this at the School of Medicine at Deakin University, and she joins us for this Campfire podcast. Jess, thanks for your time.
No problems.
Jess, before we get into the studies, I'm curious about your background and what spurred your interest in this area. I know you're based in Hamilton, but do you come from a farming background?
Yeah, so I grew up on a farm until I was about 14 in a place called Trentham. So we were on a potato farm. All my grandparents are from farms, so my parents still have a farm and my dad's still kind of, he's retired but works, that's his kind of hobby, working on his farm.
So you grew up living and breathing this kind of stuff, for want of a better description. Is that what drove a passion for you?
Yeah, I think so. And also coming from a farming community, living in the Western District, very fortunate that growing up, no one on our farm sustained a major farm-related injury, but there was definitely minor injury. So I do realise how dangerous an occupation it is, and the kind of the lifestyle that goes with being a farming family. Like, you live and work at your workplace. So it's a very unique, you know, kind of work setting.
Well, it is a very unique work setting, and that's great to hear that fortunately your family avoided those sorts of injuries. But in 2018, 2019, you published two studies investigating the psychological effects of serious injury on farm related to farm work. What prompted those studies?
So what we noticed, there was a lot of quantitative information about farm-related injury. So I think we've all seen those statistics. We've all seen that it's one of the most dangerous occupations. But what we felt was missing from the literature was the farmer's voice. So the farmer's experience with suffering a major farm-related injury, their experience post-injury during the recovery process. So I guess that was really the driver for undertaking this study and really wanting to record the farmer's lived experience.
The farmer's voice is a very powerful phrase there, and it's the power that what came through when I read your studies. I could actually hear it as they're describing what they experienced and how they responded. So can we break it down a little bit? Can you summarise the short-term mental impacts of an injury or an incident?
So short-term, there was a lot of gratitude and appreciation for life, because most of these farmers were taken to major metropolitan hospitals in a critical condition. So immediately post-injury, there was a lot of, you know, it could have been a lot worse, which is the title of one of our papers. But then after that, in the initial short-term stages of recovery, the reality of the situation set in and farmers began reporting feelings of helplessness and loss of independence. As we know, farmers work by themselves a lot and they're quite independent. So having that independence taken away from them either permanently or during the recovery process did have mental health impacts. They often reported not wanting to ask others for help, either in day-to-day living tasks or, you know, one of the main things came through was, you know, how do you maintain the operation of the farm?
You mentioned their short-term and you're alluding to the long-term there. So what about some of those long-term mental impacts, Jess?
Well, I guess long-term, some people couldn't continue farming. So that was either through like a permanent disability or others through, you know, some of the anxiety they had experienced, experiencing depression that the injury and the accident had caused them. Some of the long-term effects were, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome. Some farmers reported to us unwanted traumatic thoughts replaying the event over and over in their mind. This was an increased sense of vulnerability and anxiety. So as one farmer who'd been in a quad bike accident reported, they supposed it was post-traumatic stress disorder to a certain extent. During the middle of the night, they'd relive the accident over and over again.
That came up in a few of the quotes I read in your report, Jess, that reliving of the experience. That must be quite traumatic, obviously.
Yeah, and I'm not an expert in this area, and I don't know if some of these farmers had had an official diagnosis. One thing we found was they weren't accessing services, either through, as we know, rural people have less access to services, particularly mental health services. Also, there's still stigma around accessing services like that. But when they reflected, they did identify that this was something that came up, that, you know, they relived that the accident over and over again.
Jess, I'm guessing also too, one of the long-term impacts would be financial, the impacts on income stream off the farm, and also trying to pay for medical costs sometimes as well, I imagine.
Yeah, so financial impacts definitely came up. So sometimes farmers put the farm health before their own health. And we tried to kind of look at, you know, well then, if you're injured, what actually happens to the farm? If you can't keep farming, some farmers reported not having any income for 12 months, having to employ labour to keep the farm going. That loss, as you mentioned, of the supplementary income, because, you know, a lot of farm households have a supplementary income they might have derived. And even just in terms of one I remember describing, you know, the farm was set back. So, like, they couldn't do all the maintenance and all those different kinds of things to keep the farm operational.
Jess, one of the things that I took away from reading the study was that not every farmer looked upon it, sadly, or appeared to have a psychological impact. I guess everyone's got different responses, but some of them said, well, that's what happened. I need to get on with life.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to that, you know, putting the farm first. Like, a lot of people just said, well, I didn't have time to dwell on it, or, I mean, suffer from depression. I don't think it's that clear cut. I mean, depression is a mental illness, but that was their kind of recollection, that, you know, they had to get on with things. They had to keep moving. Many farmers described having to continue working while injured and recovering. And I think that was one of the main things we wanted to highlight in the study, that farmers were discharged from metropolitan hospitals directly back to where the accident happened, their workplace, which was also their home. And I don't think there is enough of understanding of that and the impact of that. So imagine, you know, if I had a workplace injury at my work, but imagine if that's my home as well and I'm being sent back there to recover. I mean, I think it's sometimes unrealistic to think that they'd sit there and just recover.
That's a really key point, isn't it? You'd be constantly looking out possibly to the paddock where the quad bike flipped or the horse chucked you. It's not like you can just turn away from it.
You can't turn away from it. So either in terms of, yeah, that reliving of the injury, but also, you know, you're surrounded by the work you have to do. So many people just felt like they had no choice but to get on with it. And I think that impacted both their mental health, but also their physical recovery, not being able to be given that time to recover sufficiently, and also not having those support services put in place. I think what we found, there's a very large disconnect between great immediate care after the injury, but that discharge process came up as a area that needs improvement. So they were discharged to their rural town, often with no services in place.
Jess, did the study uncover any keys for successful, healthy recovery for both physically and mentally for farm-related injuries?
I think people that did have access to those kind of services, so some people did have access in place, some people had a really good general practitioner that was able to support them. Some people had a lot of family and community support. Again, not something that's been kind of set up by the health health sector, but that really helped. There was examples of people just coming home and their neighbours turning up and saying, we've got X, Y and Z organised for you. So, you know, it might have been that they'd organised for their sheep to be drenched and sent to the sale yards, etc. So knowing what they had on and organising it for them so they were able to rest and recover.
A thing that I noticed with some of the comments was resilience, and you've also dragged that out in the study. I imagine it's also a bit of a blessing and a curse, but bred amongst primary producers is a stoicism, a resilience of I just got to get on with it.
Absolutely, that was definitely something that came out. So they felt they didn't have any choice but having to get on with things and recover. Again, you know, that putting the health of the farm first and, you know, we just need to get on with it. They didn't have time to spend that time recovering that someone else from a workplace injury may be able to spend.
Jess, you and your team were having some pretty confronting conversations here with primary producers. Was there impact on any of you? Because, you know, some of the accidents are quite horrific.
I guess what I personally felt, I just felt very honoured and grateful that farmers contacted us to share their story. So one of the things I really wanted to do justice to was the farmers opening up, telling their stories. And I think one of the impetuses for them to want to tell their story was to help others. So I guess that was really what motivated me to really tell their story, because the farmer's voice is so powerful in this, and if it can help other people and prevent injuries, I think that's one of the biggest things that can come out of it.
Well, in regards to the prevention of farm injuries, which is what the Campfire podcast is largely about, in your research, you highlighted several changes in farming practices. What's come out of that that can help prevent injury on farm?
I guess one of the things that came out of the study was, and it's like the recent WorkSafe campaign surrounding farm safety, it's never you until it is. And I think that really sums up what farmers told us. They were often injured while doing tasks they'd completed hundreds of times, like quad bike accidents where they were driving on areas of the farm that they described as knowing like the back of their hand, or being attacked and injured by livestock that they were really familiar with. So I think one of the things is don't be complacent and think we've always done it this way, because, you know, it might be the 100th time that the injury occurs or the accident occurs. So a lot of these things were obviously catalysts for farmers to make changes in their own farm, but also they translated to farming community making changes.
These studies were done a few years ago. Is there going to be any further progression on them? Are there gaps or limitations you'd like to see investigated?
Yeah, I think I'd like to see further investigated that farmer's voice, how it can be more utilised in workplace safety. So hearing these messages, farmers talking to farmers, does that resonate? Does that make change? Because I think, you know, for farmers to make safety changes, it needs to come from people who understand farming. It needs to come from within the industry. So I think that's a really important part of it.
Well, within the industry is really, really important, but there's also external bodies like WorkSafe. So what's their role in this space? How can they help?
They can help farmers develop a safe and successful business. Their role obviously is to help make farm incidents preventable. As WorkSafe mentioned, it's much better to have an inspector visit proactively than after something has happened. And they can be a fresh set of eyes for improvements on the farm. I think one of the common perhaps misconception is that WorkSafe's there to shut workplaces down, and that's not the case.
Lastly, you've spoken to all these farmers and taken a lot on board from them. Is there one small change out of all of that that you'd recommend farmers make to reduce their risk of an incident on farm?
I guess from the quantitative data, something that came out and speaking to all these farmers was just the amount of quad bike accidents and just the impact quad bike accidents had on people's lives. So in our study, I think they accounted for about a quarter of the injuries. I think just making sure that they are dangerous vehicles, it doesn't matter if you've ridden on that road many times or that part of the farm many times. I would urge people not to be complacent when using these vehicles and strongly encourage them to, you know, adhere to all the safety recommendations for the use of quad bikes.
Jess, never a wiser word said, and I say that from my background as a motorbike rider. Jessica Beattie, lecturer in rural general practice with the School of Medicine at Deakin University, thank you for taking the time and sharing the insights you gained from these important studies with us here on this Campfire podcast.
Thank you, Drew, for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you for listening to the Campfire podcast. For more information regarding Campfire, please visit the National Centre for Farmer Health website. All information is accurate at the time of release. This podcast was developed by the National Centre for Farmer Health and is funded by the Victorian State Government's WorkSafe, WorkWell Mental Health Improvement Fund.